fourth time. And each time, our pastor sits right about here. And I don't know about you, but I miss him. I want to tell on myself here this evening a little bit before I get started as far as the message goes. I want to tell you about vanity. You know, in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." Pastor called yesterday late afternoon and asked if I was willing to preach. And I hesitated for a moment, not that I wasn't willing to preach, but Pastor had no idea what kind of conversation I had just had with my wife previously, just at the supper table. I had told my wife, I had some precancerous spots and I had them removed. And I told my wife, I probably am not going to go to church on Sunday because I look like a leopard and I just, you know, vanity. Vanity, vanity. And as much as she tried, she just wasn't going to convince me that I should be in church regardless of that. But little did she know that a higher power called. I said, no, I don't want people to see me this way. Vanity, of course. The pastor calls and he says in his sweet voice, "Pastor Myers, would you be willing to preach?" Now, not only am I in church, but I have to be in front of you as well. So there's my story a little bit as far as vanity goes. God takes care of those kind of things. And you know what? That was a blessing because he did that. Because he cares. I want to tell you a story. It has nothing to do with the message. It's about a couple hikers. Actually, three of them. Joe, Bob, and Dave. One day decided they were going to take a hike in the wilderness. They were gone for a little bit, and all of a sudden they ran into this river. It was high, and it was raging, and they had to get to the other side, and they just didn't know what to do. So Joe decided that he was going to pray, "Lord, give me the strength to cross this river." So after his prayer, poof, he had big old strong arms bulging. As far as the arms go, his legs gained tremendous amount of strength, and they started to bulge too, also. So into the water he went, swam across that river. Took him about 2 hours. He almost drowned twice, but he caught across. Dave saw what happened to Joe. So he said, "Lord," he prayed also. He said, "Lord, not only give me the strength, but give me the tools to get across this river." Poof, there was a rowboat. He got in the rowboat. He went across the river. And in about an hour's time, he almost capsized twice. And then Dave. Dave says, "Lord, I've seen what's happened here. Give me the strength, give me the tools, and give me the intelligence to get across this river." Poof, Dave turned into a woman. He opened up his map. He walked a couple hundred yards, and he walked across the bridge. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to read two verses to you, verses 22 and 23. You know, I was going to preach on the wilderness table, but Pastor Dave kind of took my thunder this morning. So I had to revamp that a little bit. And I worked on this till about 5 o'clock, and so this afternoon I have plenty of messages I could preach from, but I just don't think I would do it right. I don't think I would do it service if I preached a retread message. Just don't feel comfortable. Don't felt Lord of the Lord to do that. So I kind of it gave me a new message, and I want to speak to you on homesick for a country. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your many blessings. Father, I thank you for a pastor, an associate pastor, that loves their people. Father, the love shows through each and every one's hearts here. Pastor Skyver told me once that this was a good people to preach to, and in the last couple times of my experience, it's been true. I pray, Father, that you'd open up our hearts. Father, I pray, no matter what we go through, I pray, Father, that you would just help us, watch over us, guide us, and direct us. Father, again, into your hands I lay this message, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to speak through me. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Have you ever been homesick? Ever been homesick? Every time in your life? How many people have been in the military? How many? Yep, so have I. In 1973, April 13th, 1973, remember it well, first time I ever got in a plane from Cleveland Hopkins Airport. Flew off, got into Texas. A pilot got on the phone, on the line, and intercom, and he said, "Folks, we're experiencing disturbances, some disturbance. We're going to land in a thunderstorm." First time in a plane, first time in a thunderstorm. I said to myself, "Uh-oh, what have I got myself into?" You know, we get down. I mean, it looks nice and beautiful from before we started to descend. And as we started to descend lower and lower and lower, the clouds got darker and darker. The wind started to blow, and we started bouncing around. So we finally landed finally got on a bus and was herded towards San Antonio to Lackland Air Force Base for basic training. The very first thing they did is they took us to a welcome center. You know, I don't like those words to this day, welcome center. You go on the turnpike. If the turnpike, one of the rest areas says welcome center, my wife thinks that I don't want to stop, but if it says welcome center, I don't want to go there. And it just wasn't a very big welcome, and I thought Texas was known for that, big welcomes, but it just didn't happen. Once I got on base, I found out that mom, home, and apple pie soon became a distant memory. I learned some amazing things in basic training, some good and some not so good. Initially, I and a host of others, like I said, was herded on a bus. That welcome center, like I said, it didn't seem very friendly to me. Met a couple of new friends. They were called drill instructors. You know, drill instructors. I've got some visions of that. One of my drill instructors had 2 gold teeth in the center of his mouth. Do you know the gold shines at night? It does. Do you know why I know that it was gold? Because we got close and personal a couple times. So it didn't take long for me to realize that I wasn't in Kansas anymore, Toto. At one point, the instructor had me thinking that something terrible had happened to my parents, because he said this: "For the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be your mama and I'm going to be your daddy." I thought something terrible happened. What happened? What did they do to my mom and dad? Had a name change while in basic training. You know, I was called Maggot a lot. And you know what? After a while, I started responding to that name. I just thought that was my new name. Along with that new name, I received a new identity. A set of green fatigues and 4 swipes with hair clippers. I did all that. A new identity, no hair. You think this is bad, boy, I tell you what. You just see what the barbers did. You know, and I think they were licensed barbers, too. It only took 4 swipes. Learned 2 new ways of travel, marching and running. Every place we went, that's how we traveled. Learned how to shower, shave, and dress in less than 3 minutes. Do you know that you can clean a toilet with a toothbrush? You can do that. You can do that. I also learned 2 new games that started with initials. One was PT, for physical training, and the other one was KP, for kitchen patrol. You know, I liked to play games until then. I didn't like those games too well. You might ask why I'm telling you all this. I'm telling you this because for a while, after everything kind of settled down, and I was able to think, which you didn't have much time to do, it was always reaction, I became a little homesick. I became a little homesick. There was something inside of me that had longed to be home. I wanted to be back home, but you knew. And you know, in basic training, you have those that cannot tolerate what takes place. And they do try to make their way back home. And they're just not successful. And I was in for the long haul. I realized that I probably didn't have the nerve to go AWOL. But I did this. Once in a great while, you would be able to make a phone call. I think after 3 weeks, you were able to make a phone call. And I became homesick. Had about 2 or 3 minutes you could call, say, "Hey, everything's all right, I'm doing fine." It's the first time. The military taught me how to lie. I'm just kidding about that. But I became homesick. Living in this world can make a Christian homesick for a new country. It really can. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, it says, heaven is referred to as a country that the saints of God seek. I don't know about you, but each and every one of my days, the older I get hungry for heaven. I really do. You know, I thought people my age along when I was 18, 19, 20 years old were crazy. They were looking forward to their new country. They were homesick for a country. And I said, "Oh, no, you can't be. I enjoy this thing called life." And you will. But you know, the older I get and the more I see, the more I become homesick for my country, heaven. Again, Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 14 says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." And verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." We're talking about men and women of the faith. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, a chapter. And even these people, these godly saints, these people of great faith, were looking for heaven. They were looking towards heaven. I know very well that we have a job to do on this earth. You know that. And I know when God's ready to take us home and that we will go home. But until that time, we have a job here to do. All of us, each and every one. But is it bad sometimes to take a look, take a glance, and be a little homesick for the country that God has provided for us? Sometimes I think we all get a little homesick if you really think about it from time to time. Do you keep up with the news? There are just some of, here's just some of the headlines in the newspaper this week. An 18 and 14-year-old was charged with the sledgehammering slaying of a Portage Lakes couple. It's in the paper. Man was set on fire while sitting in his SUV in front of a convenience store. Akron man was stabbed while three teens tried to mug him. Woman is accused of stealing thousands of dollars of jewelry from a relative. The French Senate on Friday approved a bill to allow same-sex couples to wed and to adopt children. A magnitude 6 quake strikes Kobe, Japan. You know what? I'm kind of homesick for a country. You know, it seems like we get more wicked and more vile as time goes along. You know, contrary, as I look at this in a different perspective, I kind of side with Joe Biden a little bit. We do need a new world order. We need Jesus Christ to come and to rule and reign. He wasn't the first one. In the 1970s, in the United Nations, Papa Bush pronounced the same thing. We need a new world order. You know, what do they do with television before long? You know, what did they start doing? They started introducing curse words into television. And before long, they just one at a time, a little bit at a time. And before long, it became every day. When we first heard a curse word, we might have been aghast. We might have said, well, how can they get away? Where's the FCC? Why aren't they sanctioning this program? But after a while, it just became commonplace. They said it enough. And before long, we just become accustomed to it. This one world order is the same thing. It's Satan's ploy. It's Satan's plot. Before long, he continues to say it. He introduces it. World leaders and people start to accept it. They start to hear it. And before long, the tribulation period will come. And then, what will we do? And what will we say? We won't be here as far as Christians go. That's for sure. But they just continue to do that. I'm kind of in agreement. I'd like to see Jesus Christ come and rule and reign, to set up his kingdom and rule and reign. I'd like to see that take place. Why was I reading all those articles? Because something inside me tells me that there is more to life than this. Something inside me longs for my real home. There is a longing for something more than this world can provide. Something inside me will not let me be satisfied with my current surroundings. You know, I get frustrated. I do. Pastor Dave said something, you know, you don't have to listen to the news all the time. And there's times that I take breaks because it gets overwhelming. I get tired of hearing all the garbage. I get tired of hearing all the foolishness as far as what's going. I get tired of people denying the Word of God and having their own agenda and trying to make Christians feel like fools. I get tired of that. I can't wait for the day when Jesus reigns and rules. and the Bible will apply to everyone. And you know what? There won't be no fuss. We'll all be willing and glad to be led and ruled by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Kind of homesick for a place I've never seen. We've only got a few descriptions, but I'm kind of homesick for that place. There is a groaning inside that tells me that this place is not my home. When sin entered into this world, it did not just affect mankind. In verse 22 and 23, it basically tells us, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." What's it talking about? How is it groaning and travailing? Because when sin entered into the world, it just didn't affect mankind. It affected everything. It affected nature. It affected the environment. Sin affected everything, just not mankind. You know, in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered in, things were amazing. Things were perfect. You know, in heaven, I believe it's going to be the same way. And I can't wait. I'm kind of homesick for that. I'm kind of looking forward to that day. I can't wait. I only know a little bit, but I'm excited for that day. The Bible tells us that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Christian, the Holy Spirit is also groaning inside of us. It says in these passages, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. The Holy Spirit has already experienced the splendor of heaven. It is the Holy Spirit within me that makes me homesick for a country I have never seen before. I'm homesick for a Savior that I've never seen before. I deny all of man's worldly pictures depicting Jesus Christ. He's nothing like that. He's only man's idea of what Jesus Christ may look like. I can't wait to look inside those eyes of His. I can't wait to hear from that mouth as it speaks. I can't wait, honestly, to see those scarred hands that were given on my behalf for my sins and be able to tell my Savior, thank you. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've gone back home to your mom and dad after they raised you the very best way that they could? And after you had, because you wouldn't understand it before this, after you started having your own children, you begin to understand what mom and dad went through, the sacrifices that they made, the love that they had. Had you ever gone back and said, "Mom, Dad, I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you for the sacrifices that you've made for me. I can't wait to go back to the Lord and Savior that died on the cross for my sins and tell Him thank you." I want to walk those great gates, through those great gates of pearl. I want to dip my feet in the river that runs through that great city. I want to climb the trees that align that great city called heaven. I want to move into that mansion that has been built for me in heaven. When I feel overwhelmed, down, or even a little cramped in this room called earth, I'd like to take a peek into heaven. There's a song, and I know that we have it in our song books. It's called Beulah Land. But there's another version of that that I like even better. Sweet Beulah Land. I'm looking for a country. I'm looking for that country where my Savior lives and where loved ones before me that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior have gone before me. I have a mother in heaven. I'll be glad the day that I'll be able to see her. I have a father-in-law in heaven. I saw a picture of him the other day when he was sick. In 1986, he passed away. He wasn't the man he used to be. I can't wait to see him in heaven in a glorified body. I can't wait to see him that day. You know, sometimes when I get overwhelmed, sometimes when I get down, sometimes when Satan seems to have me down on the count, I'd like to look up into heaven. I'd like to look. Listen, if you've ever flown before, once you get to a certain altitude and you look out, tell me that that's not a beautiful sight. Tell me that that's not a beautiful sight. One of the prettiest sights that you've ever seen up there as you're flying, looking down. But you know what? It doesn't even compare to the boundless beauty of heaven and what waits for you and I. Oh, how I groan and travail for my real home in heaven. Have you heard the story about the honeymooners disaster? Newlyweds arrived at a hotel in the wee hours of the night with high hopes. They had reserved a large romantic room. But when they arrived, they were disappointed with what they had found. The room seemed pretty skimpy. There were no view, no flowers. The bathroom was small. And worst of all, there was no bed, just a folding sofa with a lumpy mattress that had sagging springs. It was not what the couple had hoped for. Consequently, neither was the night. The next morning, this sore-necked groom stormed down to the manager's office. After listening several minutes, the clerk asked, "Did you open the door in your room?" The groom admitted that he had not, and that he thought it was only a closet. He quickly returned to the suite and opened the door that he had thought was a closet. There he found the spacious room complete with a fruit basket and chocolates. The couple looked in disbelief. There was a comfortable bed instead of a lumpy sofa. There was a curtained frame window rather than a blank wall with no view. A fresh breeze filled the room in place of the stuffy air. There was an elaborate restroom, not a tight toilet or sink. The couple missed all of that because they thought the door was a closet. When our bodies groan with disappointment and sadness, we need to open the door of heaven and look into our future home. It's a good remedy for homesickness. This world may not be all that we hope it to be. It may have its moments of joy, but it will not be what we want it to be. Something inside of us should groan for more. Listen, you've got the problem. You have a problem if something inside of you tells you this is the best it's going to get. There's a problem with inside of you if you're satisfied with what this world, this flesh, has to offer. There's something much better than that. And I'll be quite frank with you. If you're satisfied with what this earth has to offer, I think I'd start checking my salvation. Something inside us should groan for more. We can shuffle furniture, paint walls, turn down the lights, but there is only so much you can do with this place called earth. And so we Christians groan. I can't wait. I can't wait. I know. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to teach the Word of God. I love to do that. I love to try to encourage and help people. You know, a week ago Wednesday, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go and be in a hospital at 5:30 in the morning for a person that used to be under my pastorate. I told them once upon a time if they ever needed me to call me and I would go. And I was willing to do that, and I loved to do that. It was a pleasure to be able to do that, to open up my Bible as that woman was about to go into surgery and read and try to comfort her from the Word of God. I love all that. I love to do that. It's a privilege and an honor to do that. But saying all that, I say this, I can't wait for heaven and all its splendor and all its glory. We are adopted children waiting for our inheritance. Romans 8:23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." During Bible times, a man could father many children. But through a ceremony called adoption, he would choose heirs to his inheritance. David had many sons, but only Solomon was chosen to be the heir. What a privilege it was for a son to be heir of their father's inheritance. You know that as children of God, you have been chosen for an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Colossians 3:24 also says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye have received the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." No greater service. No greater man, no greater service can we give than to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was in the military for 8.5 years, and there were men that I would follow just about anywhere because they were men that you knew cared for you. They weren't just trying to put you somewhere because they didn't want to go. They put you there, they were concerned for you. They cared for you. They were interested in you. They took all the precautions to ensure that if you would go somewhere, that you would come back. But nothing like, no matter what they did, it doesn't compare to our Lord and Jesus Christ and how much He cares for us. We need to serve Him. Like Brother Dave said, we need to serve with all our heart and with all our might, until the Lord takes us home or we hear the trumpet of God sounds. God was once your judge, but now He is our Father. We are His adopted children. Our imagination can't begin to explain what God has prepared for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved Him." I got a vivid imagination. I can tell you some stories as far as imagination goes. But listen, we have no idea. All I know is I'm looking forward for that day. I'm telling you something. Inside me, I can't wait to receive my new body that will be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait for that day that takes place. I can't wait. Something inside of me can't wait to see all that I have inherited. Not out of selfishness. I don't believe it is. I don't believe I just don't believe it's out of selfishness. But man, will I glory. Man, will it be a day. It will be a day. You may not be able to kick your heels up high now, but one day, once you get in glory land, you'll be able to kick your heels. You'll be excited. It won't be a baseball or football game kind of an excitement. It'll be goosebumps excitement. Once you reach that glory land in heaven with our Father for an eternity, You get a little homesick. Reflect upon that from time to time. Listen, that's what he's got for us. It wasn't just that he died on the cross for our sins. He's prepared a place for us to go one of these days. He didn't say, well, my job's finished now that I've resurrected. My job, now that I've ascended to heaven, my job is over. It's not over. He knows that. And he lovingly and caringly and joyfully has prepared a place for you and I. And I just, can you wait? Can you wait? With all the stuff that we go through these several years that we live here on earth, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus one day. It'll be, like I said, goose pimple times. You know, an exciting time, you and I. You ever been homesick? Is there a groaning inside of you that says, this is not all there is? This is not all there is. From time to time, do you say to yourself, I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of people rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm tired of the way they're treating my Lord and Savior. You know, in a school classroom, a teacher gave an assignment. I told this story to the Christian school not too long ago. The teacher gave an assignment. He said, write Jesus Christ on a piece of paper. Everybody in the classroom wrote Jesus Christ, just wrote Jesus on a piece of paper. Throw it down and stomp on it. One didn't, and he got expelled from school. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that abuse as far as our Lord and Savior goes. I'm tired of them trying to take Jesus Christ out of things. We're reaping the consequences of all that. You know, you go back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 and through verses 26, you'll see the first civilization under Cain. You'll come to realize pretty quick that civilization had an indifference towards God and an independence from God. And that's where we're at today. We haven't learned anything. We haven't grown up. We haven't learned from history. We continue to go on our way. God, that civilization was doomed for judgment. And God sent a flood. This generation is doomed for judgment. Is ripe for God's judgment. The handwriting's on the wall. You can see it. Very clear. We haven't learned anything. We're no better off, it seems. Sure, we've progressed. Sure, we have this, that, and the other thing. But spiritually, have we grown? One nation under God. Are we? I'm tired of the way we treat the Lord. I'm tired of the way we reject Him. I'm kind of homesick for a country. The silly things, our country. When's the last time you've heard the President of the United States mention the Lord Jesus Christ? That's right. Never. One day, it'll be an honor and a privilege to mention that. It's an honor and a privilege to do it now. It's an honor and a privilege to call out His name, to be able to tell someone about Jesus Christ. It's an honor and a privilege. Pastor Dave, I don't know about you, but every time I'm able to win a soul to Christ, I go and I almost cry that God has given me the privilege to be able to show someone in the Bible how to be saved. One day, when we're all in heaven, in that throne room, shouting and singing Hosanna to the highest, one day, we're going to see those people again. What a hallelujah chorus. What a great time we're going to have. You know, I'm looking, you know, I don't know about you, but it's been a while since I've had some goose pimple time. But I can tell you this, sometimes when we sing in this auditorium, I get goose pimples. Shame on us if we lose that. It's an honor and privilege to sing about heaven. It's an honor and a privilege to sing about our Savior. It's an honor and a privilege. Aren't you kind of homesick? Aren't you kind of homesick? I am. I'm kind of homesick for a country. I'm longing for the day when the groom comes and carries his bride over the heavenly threshold. I'm an adopted child looking for the day that the Father opens those gates and takes me home. Something inside of me is groaning, and I feel a little homesick. How about you? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the day that you showed me that you came and died on the cross for my sins. I thank you for that day that I accepted you as Lord and Savior. Father, I'll be quite frank with you. You know my heart. You know I'm a little homesick for a country called heaven. I'm kind of homesick, and I'd like to be with you. I'm kind of homesick, and I'm tired of people abusing you. Father, I pray that as these people reflect upon this message, when they're down and out, when things seem to be overwhelming as far as the trials and tribulations, I pray that they would look up and they remember that there's a country called heaven waiting for them, and it will be worth it all one day. Father, just bless our guide and direct during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.